searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Good morning and welcome into the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. It is Friday, the 28th of June, 2016. Welcome aboard. It's good to have you along as we kick a weekend off. It's going to be another day of looking back at a previous night's Democrat debate. We'll see what the next entrance from the into the debate, the next occupants of the clown car had to say, at least a little of it, and look for some observations, insight, and absurdity throughout the whole mix. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for the hour, hoping you are having a fantastic Friday and looking forward to a huge weekend, and that you have things planned that will pull you away from the insanity of politics and into real life for a change, so that you can unplug, disconnect, and focus on your family and your friends and the things you have around you, which you have to take care of. You know what I'm talking about. Those things you can't do during the week. I know how that is, too. I hope you are having a good day, as I said already, and I hope, regardless of where or when you may be listening, that things are going well for you. Our day, my wife Jane and I, not right away, but in just a little while, we'll be throwing a suitcase in the car and heading to visit family in Pensacola, and then back again on Sunday. One of the things that I want to do on the way down is to make a stop in Evergreen, Alabama, because that's where both sides of my family are from. My mom and my dad both were born and raised or from Evergreen. And there is a little place down there right at the exit off of I-65 that sells some of the most amazing sausage you've ever put into your face. It's the Kaneka Sausage Company. Every time we have passed by there in the past, it's been on a holiday, or it's been on a Sunday or something like that. So we've never been able to stop in. They have a store, and I want to stop in the store and take a gander at what they sell in there, just out of curiosity. And I have heard, I cannot substantiate this, but I have heard that Kaneka has been working on their own brand of bacon. And you know how wonderful bacon is. If you know how wonderful bacon is, and you know how wonderful Kaneka sausage is, the two together, Kaneka sausage and bacon, will probably rip a hole in the space-time continuum upon eating. And that's what I'm looking forward to. We're going to pick up a pound of something on the way down for breakfast while we're in Pensacola, hoping for great things when we pull off in Kaneka County at Evergreen on our way to Florida this morning, or a little later in the day. And hopefully your weekend is stacked up with wonderful things to do as well. Well, there was another debate last night. The rest of the clown car took the stage. And I would be remiss. Yes, it's the circus parade theme. Come on, people. Let's join in. Put on your clown noses, your big feet shoes, and join the parade. Because this insanity, I just don't know. This insanity, if it's not doing anything else, it's showing America how disconnected from reality the candidates in the Democrat Party actually are. The things they're asking for, the things they're proposing to do. It's just crazy town. It really is. And I tell you what's most entertaining to me is to look at Twitter. Yeah, you look at Twitter and see what people are saying about what candidates are declaring as they are addressed during the debate. And you know how this goes. Most of them, they're asked a question and then they'll say, thanks, that's a great question. I appreciate that. And you know I have incredible views on insert topic here. And then they proceed to talk about something else. Because they can't substantiate what they want to do as far as a certain subject is concerned. All they can do is attack each other. Well, I think that's one of the entertaining things about the debates. And as I said, looking at Twitter as the debates are going on makes it even more entertaining. So I have a handful of little things that came from Twitter referring to last night's debate. Larry Elder, who is a brilliant man who has a daily talk show, is a conservative man from California. He wrote, "R.I.P. Joe Biden. Biden, who routinely plays the race card against Republicans, was murdered tonight by Senator Kamala Harris, who played the race card against him. How does it feel, Joe, having your words willfully distorted for black votes?" Buck Sexton said, "After tonight, anyone who argues that the Democrat Party is not in favor of open borders is either a liar or a fool." Ann Coulter said, "Marianne Williamson reminds me why we've never had a female president." Good for you, Anne. And YouTube aficionado Carpe Donctum, that's what he calls himself on YouTube and on social media. He creates memes and social and little YouTube videos about politics and life. He writes, "That mean white guy Rachel just interrupted Kamala when she wanted to talk about race. Uncool." That mean guy Rachel. And the founder of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, posted this, and I think he posted this early this morning. "The two choices for the future of America has never been more clear. Only one side supports post-birth abortion for newborns. Only one side openly stands against Israel. Only one side embraces socialism. Only one side hates America. Only one side has ruined our inner cities." I think he summed it up very nicely. They do support post-birth abortion of newborns. The Democrats do support. They stand against Israel. They do stand openly against Israel. The Democrats embrace socialism. They were even warned by John Hickenlooper last night, don't embrace, you need to distance yourself from socialism or Trump's going to win. And they openly embrace it. The Democrats hate America. They are trying to fundamentally transform the nation you love into something nobody can love. And the Democrats have ruined our inner cities. When you look at state after state and city after city across America, which are governed and managed by Democrats, you see wastelands. You see hulks of empty buildings. You see burned out houses. You see people living in the streets. You see drug paraphernalia laying in the gutters, human waste on the sidewalks. Democrats are turning our nation's cities into third world countries. And they want to run the entire nation. They must be stopped. And fortunately, at this point, I think they're stopping themselves. I think, honestly, I think they're making it very plain that they are not the people to be trusted. Let's go to our first story. First story coming to us from Fox News. Democratic presidential primary frontrunner Joe Biden ran into a formidable challenge at last night's debate from Senator Kamala Harris, who tapped into her prosecutor toolbox to put his race record on trial following controversy over his comments on segregationist senators. As you'll recall, Joe Biden talked about working with people you don't agree with. That was the context of his statements. And, of course, all of his political opponents have taken everything out of context and made it about something else, because this is how politics works. While the other top polling candidates on stage in Miami, Bernie Sanders, avoided any direct clash with the former VP, the California senator made a point of confronting Biden on the issue that has rattled his otherwise high-flying campaign. In perhaps the most heated moment of the night, Harris told Biden she doesn't believe he is a racist, but considers his recent comments about being able to work with segregationist senators early in his career hurtful. Now, Biden, to be fair, has said he disagreed with the senators on segregation, but still was able to work with them in the Senate. This is what I was explaining earlier. Harris then said, "You worked with them to oppose busing." She was referring to efforts to limit orders for school desegregation by busing. In an emotional moment, she told her own story of being bused as a little girl in California. Biden fired back at Harris's comments. He fired back that her comments were a mischaracterization of my position across the board, saying he never praised racists while denying that he opposed busing. He insisted he opposed busing ordered by the Department of Education as opposed to localities making their own decisions. Adamantly defending his record on race and civil rights, he also swiped at Harris by noting he became a public defender, not a prosecutor, as she was. Let me step back just a moment here. He insisted that he opposed busing ordered by the Department of Education as opposed to localities making their own decisions. That actually is a very conservative position when you think about it, because that takes the power away from the national government, the federal government, and puts it in the hands of cities and states. This alone, this attitude, this view alone is enough for the rest of the people on that stage to go for his jugular. This alone. The clash amounted to one of several moments where Harris grabbed attention, including when she scolded her rivals after they were shouting over one another in earlier skirmish. Quote, "America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how they're going to put food on their table." That's interesting, because Americans don't want the government to put food on their table. Do you? No. You want to provide for your family. You want to put food on your table. We don't want the government involved. We want them involved even less than they are now. But this is the view of leftism. The government is the end-all, be-all, the savior of mankind. With 10 candidates on stage, just like the previous night's showdown in Miami, the moderators frequently had to step in as well to stop them from talking over one another. Biden, though, for the most part, kept his focus on the candidate he really wants to face, President Trump, while repeatedly invoking the name and record of his popular running mate, Barack Obama, and brushing back swipes at his age from long-shot candidate Representative Eric Swalwell, who repeatedly called on him to pass the torch. Biden said with a grin, "I'm still holding on to that torch." It's unclear whether the clash with Harris might damage Biden, considering most prior controversies have not dinged his poll numbers, or simply give her some needed momentum in a race where fellow Senator Elizabeth Warren, on stage the previous night, has been climbing. Sanders, for his part, spent much of the NBC-hosted debate defending his big government agenda against questions from moderators and criticism from more centrist and lower-polling candidates. Early in the debate, Sanders dismissed a moderator's contention that nominating a Democratic socialist could re-elect Trump, pointing to polls showing him ahead of the president in head-to-head matchups. Quote, "The American people understand that Trump is a phony," Sanders said. "Trump is a pathological liar and racist, and that he lied to the American people during his campaign. He said he was going to stand up for working families." Just a moment here. There is absolutely no concrete proof that Trump is a pathological liar. He may lie, but a pathological liar? I think the stage was full of them last night. There's no evidence that Trump is a racist. Actually, there is much to the opposite. There's much to contradict that. There's no evidence that he lied to the American people about standing up for working families. He passed a tax cut that I think it was, the figure is 90% of Americans benefited from. Not just the 1%, not just the wealthy, not just corporations, 90% of real people, Americans, benefited from it. So Bernie and the rest of them are lying. Shocker. There's more to come. I got more to talk about. This article alone has a little bit more to talk about, and we'll dive back into it after the break. Also, we'll be talking about what Mayor Pete said that got a cheer from the crowd. Something bizarre. Bernie Sanders proposed. Something weird that Joe Biden bragged about. And more as the Daily Perspective continues. I guess I should have been playing the circus music to bump out to the break, huh? That probably would have been a lot more appropriate. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's good to have you in today. It is a Friday edition of the podcast. We're looking forward to a weekend, a couple of days to disconnect, unplug, spend some time in the quiet, like I talked about the other day, and enjoy time with family and friends. Just handle the things you got to get done around the place that you can't get done because you go to work every day to pay for the place. You know what I mean? Oh, man. And by the way, I need to say thanks. Thanks for sharing the podcast with your friends. We're seeing it grow little by little, but it is growing as you share with your friends and your friends share with their friends. So make it a point today, please. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Make it a point today to share the podcast with one person. Just one. That's all you need to. Just share it with one person today. If you want to share it with two or three, that's great. You want to share it with 100, that's great. But one person will do. So think of somebody who might enjoy sharing this with you in the mornings and or each day as the podcast, and share it with somebody today, okay? All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, back to the article we were looking at from Fox News. Several rivals took issue with some of Sanders' socialistic policies, like Medicare for All, free college tuition. Former Governor John Hickenlooper of Colorado took issue with his rivals embracing socialism, saying it's not good politics. I mentioned this earlier. He said, I think that the bottom line is if we don't clearly define we're not socialists, the Republicans are going to come at us every way they can and call us socialists. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett challenged Medicare for All, saying the public should be able to have a choice on health care, public option or otherwise. And South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg broke with Sanders in saying while he supports free college for children of low and middle income, quote, I just don't believe it makes sense to ask working class families to subsidize even the children of billionaires. Harris was also pressed on how Democrats will pay for the massive programs they're proposing, but tried to turn the tables on Trump instead, saying, I hear that question, but where was that question when the Republicans and Donald Trump passed a tax bill that benefits the top 1% and the biggest cover corporations, contributing to the debt of America, which middle-class families will pay for one way or another? As I said before, the tax cut benefited 90% of Americans. The people she's talking to, the people in that audience who were cheering her, those people got a bump in their paychecks every week. Those people saw less coming out of their checks. Every one of them. And many of those people are working when they weren't before, or they know someone who wasn't working before. So that's just another lie. California Representative Swalwell, who, by the way, you probably don't know and don't know anything about because he's just making a lot of noise and trying to get his name out there. I think, honestly, that this is his foray into the national spotlight, and he hopes to gather some attention for the future. I don't think he believes he has a chance of winning, but I think he has a chance of getting some attention. Well, he was the first to go on offense against Biden, recalling a speech Biden gave years ago, saying it's time to pass the torch to a new generation. Quote, Joe Biden was right when he said that 32 years ago. He's still right today. If we're going to solve the issue, pass the torch. The debate also made clear how Democrats have moved to the left on issues relating to immigration. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York said, one of the worst things about President Trump that he's done to this country is he's torn apart the moral fabric of who we are. Really? How is that? All 10 Democrats raised their hands when asked if their government health care plan would cover illegal immigrants. Responding to that, President Trump tweeted, "That's the end of that race." All of the Democrats tripped over each other in a race to see who could stand out as the most leftist candidate, threatening government control of every aspect of people's lives. That's what the Trump campaign said in a statement. At another point, most candidates raised their hands when asked if they support decriminalizing crossing the border without authorization, a vibrant topic in the debate the night before. Candidates also said they didn't think someone whose only offense is coming to the United States illegally should be deported. Mayor Pete said, "Let's remember, that's not just a theoretical exercise, that's criminalization. That criminalization is the basis for family separation." Actually, no, Mayor Pete. The suspicion that the children may not actually belong to the adults is the basis for family separation. That's the basis. Biden said he didn't want to see immigrants deported whose only offense is coming to America without documents. Quote, "That person should not be the focus of deportation. We should change the way we deal with things." Mayor Pete, who has struggled to attract black voters, he's having a lot of trouble back in his hometown with a police shooting and the typical usual response from the black community, which has been complicated by the fact that the cop didn't turn on his body cam, which is mandatory. Well, he entered the debate having to answer questions about the racial unrest back home in South Bend as the city deals with a deadly police-involved shooting. He said, "I'm not allowed to take sides until the investigation comes back. The officer didn't have his body camera on. It's a mess. We're hurting." The debate stage included two non-politicians with national followings, entrepreneur Andrew Yang and writer Marianne Williamson. Yang said, "The right candidate will be solving the problems that got Donald Trump elected. I am that candidate. I can build a much broader coalition to beat Donald Trump." Williamson said, "Mr. President, if you're listening, I want you to hear me, please. You've harnessed fear for political purpose, and only love can cast that out." That's just kind of crazy. Only love can cast out fear. Yes, that's biblical. Does it apply to this? No, not when everybody on the stage is lying. When everybody in the stage is exhibiting the morals of a used car, of a skanky used car dealer. Come on, people. They were all lying to America. Every last one of them. Let's go back to Mayor Pete for a moment, shall we? During this second round of the debate, Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana, tried to shame Republican Christians into silence by attacking immigration policies the Trump administration either never employed or that the Obama administration also employed. Mayor Pete said this. He is, by the way, a member of the liberal mainline Episcopal Church. He said, "The Republican Party likes to cloak itself in the language of religion. Now, our party doesn't talk about that as much, largely for a very good reason, which is we are committed to the separation between church and state, and we stand for people of any religion and people of no religion. But we should call out hypocrisy when we see it. And for a party that associates itself with Christianity to say that it's okay to suggest that God would smile at the division of families at the hands of federal agents, that God would condone putting children in cages, has lost all claim to ever use religious language again." Now, if you know what's going on and you've been paying attention, that statement has probably got you pounding the steering wheel or whatever nearby you can pound on. Please don't pound on your child or the dog. That's just wrong. Because you know, because you've been paying attention, that the division of families is for legal reasons and for the safety of the children, to determine that these kids actually are with their parents and not being used as props, because we're finding that most of the children coming across the border are props. They've been rented, sold, kidnapped. Some of them are being trafficked as sex toys. We're finding this out as we dig. They're doing DNA tests. They're finding out that a lot of these children need to be separated from the adult they came with, because that adult is not related to them in any way, shape, or form. There are lies, and we have to find out the truth before we can take care of everything properly. That's the truth of the situation. And this man is using that against Christians. Now, Mayor Pete has long directed his liberal Christian ire against conservative Christians who follow the clear teachings of the Bible on sexuality. Part of the Episcopal Church actually split away because the main Episcopal Church started saying that Jesus was not the only path to salvation, and because it was rejecting the Bible on sexuality issues. It's ironic for Buttigieg to slam conservative Christians as insufficiently Christian when he doesn't follow the Bible on these issues. Yet there's an even larger problem with Mayor Pete's declaration. His attempts to shame Republican Christians into silence on immigration focused on the Obama administration's immigration policies. First, the narrative that Trump's administration put kids in cages is entirely false. The infamous photos of kids in cages by the border came from 2014 under the Obama administration, not under Trump. Photos showing immigrants sleeping on concrete floors also date from Obama's tenure back in 2015. Secondly, the Obama administration also separated families at the border, refusing to place children in detention centers with their parents. Democrats have demonized these policies, conveniently forgetting that Democratic presidents have also used them. As Paula Bolliard put it, she was a writer for PJ Media, where this, by the way, this is an article from PJ Media. She said this, by extension, Pete Buttigieg said Obama has lost all claims to use religious language again because he caged kids at the border. As for Christianity and the law, Romans 13 encourages Christians to follow the law, not encourage lawbreaking. However, there's no clear Christian policy on immigration. It's not out of step with Christianity for a government to restrict immigration or to detain lawbreakers while not detaining their children. So Mayor Pete is playing the religion card, and he's trying to shame conservative Christians for not being liberal Christians. That's what it amounts to. Mayor Pete has some serious issues with Christianity to begin with, because he's denying the teachings of Jesus with his lifestyle. That's a topic for another day. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It is a great to have you along today. Thanks for tuning in, however you may be tuning in. And thanks for signing up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. About every podcast at about this time, I encourage you to sign up if you haven't already. And if you have signed up, to share it with your friends. Let them see what's coming to your inbox every day. And what that is the links to the articles that we discuss during the hour. And it's a valuable tool. It's a valuable reference, because I usually stack up a whole lot more than I get to during the day. So you get the show's stories plus the stuff I didn't get to. And today there's going to be a lot of stuff I didn't get to. Just trust me. And you get all of that. You get every last bit of it. Now, some of the stuff in the bonus section I may recycle and use the next day, because it may be worth digging into the next day still. It may still be relevant. So that puts you ahead of the curve. You've already got the story. You know what I'm talking about. Plus, each story usually has links to other sources that give you further explanation about the subtleties of the story. And that's a valuable tool as well. So get signed up today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. That's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. If you look on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see the sign-up form. It's right there. Just give me your name and your email address and answer yes to the confirmation email, and you'll be signed up. And before long, your inbox will be getting a dose of information every day that'll help you deal with the absurdities of life. All right. Oh, one other thing. So a little more housekeeping. I mentioned this the other day, and I need to remind you this morning. That is that Monday morning, there will be no podcast. No podcast Monday. So podcast subscribers, you won't get an update in your podcast aggregator on Monday. And live stream listeners and viewers, you won't get the show Monday morning on Facebook Live because I will not be here. As I mentioned the other day, my mom's having some elective surgery, and I will be with her as she gets that done. So I'll be out of pocket. No way to do a podcast. So I'll be back on Tuesday morning as usual. Okay? All right. So it's not like I'm getting a long weekend. I'm going to be very, very busy until Tuesday. Actually, it'll be nice to be back in the studio Tuesday morning. All righty. Back to last night's debate and some of the insanity. Democratic 2020 presidential candidate Kamala Harris said last night that the greatest national security threat to the United States is President Donald Trump. The California senator made the remark after discussing how she would address climate change as president. What is the greatest national security threat to the United States? It's Donald Trump, she said. And I'm going to tell you why. Well, I actually have the soundbite here. So why don't we just go to the soundbite and listen to what she had to say.
Senator Harris, I'm addressing you first on this. You live in a state that has been hit by drought, wildfires, flooding. Climate change is a major concern for voters in your state. It's pretty obvious. Obviously, this state as well. Last night, voters heard many of the candidates weigh in on their proposals. Explain specifically what yours is.
Well, first of all, I don't even call it climate change. It's a climate crisis. It represents an existential threat to us as a species. And the fact that we have a president of the United States who has embraced science fiction over science fact will be to our collective peril. I visited, while the embers were smoldering, the wildfires in California. I spoke with firefighters who were in the midst of fighting a fire while their own homes were burning. And on this issue, it is a critical issue that is about what we must do to confront what is immediate and before us right now. That is why I support a Green New Deal. It is why I believe on day one, and as president, will re-enter us in the Paris Agreement, because we have to take these issues seriously. And frankly, we have a president of the United States. We talked about, you asked before, what is the greatest national security threat to the United States? It's Donald Trump. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I agree, climate change represents an existential threat. He denies the science. You want to talk about North Korea? Real threat in terms of nuclear arsenal. But what does he do? He embraces Kim Jong-un, okay, a dictator, for the sake of a photo op. Putin. You want to talk about
Senator
Russia?
Harris, we're going to
he
do
takes
more.
The word of the Russian president over the word of the American intelligence
the
community when it comes to a threat to our democracy and
bless
our elections.
Thank you, Senator
These
Harris.
These are the issues that are before us, Chuck.
I hear you. Thank you, Senator Harris.
Bless his heart. Chuck Todd's trying to get things back in control again because she's going nuts. She's just going crazy. Oh yeah, another thing. Well, she starts off talking about firefighters putting out fires while their homes were burning. She talked about the climate problems in California. Let's just clarify something. Just FYI, in case you didn't know. California's climate issues, many of them are man-made. I'll admit that. They were made by progressive politicians refusing to follow proven procedure when it comes to forestry. They stopped allowing forestry officials to do the proper maintenance of forests in California, clearing brush, dry brush that easily burns. And because their environmentalism was more important than reality, people died, property burned, forests were decimated. This is because progressive environmentalists, who are convinced they are intellectually and morally superior to the experts who really know what they're talking about, they believed they were better informed and that their choices were better. Because of that, people died. Houses and businesses burned. Forests were harmed. Because the delusion of leftism was in control. rather than the reality of science. They talk about science, and then they deny science. Drought. Let's talk about drought. Farmlands suffered from drought in California because, once again, progressive government officials listened to progressive environmentalist idiots and would not allow water to be diverted to farmlands, which much needed that water, and farming suffered as a result for the sake of tiny fish no one knew existed and no one will ever see, except for the environmentalists who are wading around in their habitat. So again, progressivism takes over and causes issues for the real world. So when Kamala Harris talks about witnessing these problems, she witnessed problems caused by progressive policies in her state. And she wants to impose those progressive policies on the rest of the nation. She wants to sign us back up to the Paris Accord, which, by the way, has accomplished nothing. Something that you may or may not be aware of is that if the United States of America went completely carbon free, if we complied with everything the environmentalist front demands, it would make little to no impact on the world's climate. That is because China and India and other Asian nations are completely ignoring the needs to clean up their climates. When people like Kamala Harris talk about plastic straws and waste in the oceans, they ignore the fact that the vast majority of it is coming from China and India. The vast majority of it is coming down rivers in Asian nations and dumping into the oceans. They phrase things as though we can make a difference here in the United States. They demand that plastic straws be banned, when the incidence of damage caused by plastic straws is very, very small. And the number of plastic straws coming from the United States of America is so tiny it can almost not be measured. But all it takes is a picture of one sea turtle with a plastic straw up a nostril. And people quiver and cry and say, something has to be done. We've got to stop selling plastic straws. And so in California, you can actually be fined for handing a customer a plastic straw. And that also ignores the needs of people with disabilities and small children who can't easily drink from cups without the right kind of straw. People who can't handle a paper straw because they collapse easily. I've told you the story about it was Animal Kingdom Park at Walt Disney World, and they had introduced paper straws, and the paper straw collapsed. The texture was weird. It was an unsatisfying experience. And I think that more or less describes all of leftism. And everything that people on the stage last night at this debate represent. A completely unsatisfying, unfulfilling, and purposeless idea. Kamala Harris condemns Donald Trump, not because he's actually an existential threat, but because she wants to be the president. In order to condemn him, she has to lie. She has to misrepresent. She has to bamboozle. And she has to blow smoke. She did it loudly last night. People thought she did a good job. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It's the Friday edition heading into the weekend, and I hope you are having a great day. Little reminder, there are ways to find The Daily Perspective on social media. We're on Facebook. Like I got a clown in my pocket. No, that's the Democrats. On social media, on Facebook, just look for The Daily Perspective. It's Daily Perspective. Facebook.com/Daily Perspective. And then also on Twitter at The Daily PERSPE1. If you just look for The Daily Perspective, you'll find it on Facebook and on Twitter. Also, there are ways to listen to the show as well, a handful of different ways. You can listen on Apple Podcasts. You can listen on Google Podcasts. You can listen on Spotify and on SoundCloud. And you can also subscribe on those formats. And then there's live in the mornings on Facebook. You can join in on Facebook Live. And I send that through the Mark and Mac Show Facebook page for the feed, just because most people remember the Mark and Mac Show, and they're looking for it. And so that seemed the most logical place to make that happen. And I am talking with myself seriously. Yeah, I'm seriously considering moving the live feed in the mornings over to the Daily Perspective page. I'll let you know when that happens. I just think it's probably the best thing to do, just so that everything is unified under a single banner, if you know what I mean. Okay, so now let's get back to the latest from the clown car. The Democrats want to ban guns. Everybody knows that in some form or another. It might be military-style guns or assault weapons or weapons of war. Well, former President Joe Biden, last night during the Democratic primary debate, took the Democrats' butchering of basic firearm terminology to a new low. Quote, "I'm the only person that beat the NRA nationally. I'm the guy that got the Brady Bill passed. Background checks, number one. Number two, we increased that background check during the Obama administration. I'm also the only guy who got assault weapons banned and the number of clips in a gun banned." Was that a senior moment? This obvious ignorance of the topic he and other Democratic candidates are so passionate about was quite frustrating to observers who value Second Amendment rights. Jason Dean on Twitter wrote, "Congrats to Biden for being the first to reduce the number of clips in a gun. These are the people wanting to ban guns." Biden's other gun-related plan was to advocate for only smart guns being sold. Quote, "We should have smart guns. No gun should be able to be sold unless your biometric measure could pull that trigger. It's within our right to do that. We can do that. Our enemy is the gun manufacturers, not the NRA. The gun manufacturers." Our enemy is not the NRA is not likely to go over well with many in the Democratic Party. Senator Bernie Sanders also had his own gaffe related to the gun discussion. Moderator Rachel Maddow asked Sanders about a quote on gun laws he gave to a Vermont newspaper in 2013 and asked him if his views had changed. The quote, "My own view on guns is, everything being equal, states should make those decisions." That's what he's quoted as having said. Sanders responded that the statement was a mischaracterization of my thinking. Maddow informed him it was a direct quote. Sanders then skipped over the 2013 quote totally, referencing things he did in 1988 and going on about gun show loopholes and straw man provisions. Then, of course, there's Senator Kamala Harris, who will give Congress a couple of months to do what she wants on the issue before she uses executive action to enact her desired gun reform. She said, "I'll give the United States Congress 100 days to put a bill on my desk for signature. And if they do not, I will take executive action and I will put in place the most comprehensive background check policy we've had." It really doesn't matter that she can't do that, but whatever. Their ignorance of guns, of firearms, of how they work, of how they're used, and the reality of firearms as it applies to life in America is breathtaking. It's just breathtaking. But the point is that facts and truth don't motivate people. Sensationalism does. We've talked about this before, how the news media uses sensationalism to draw attention to their channels and to their publications. And the more sensational and salacious the story is, the more people focus in and the longer they stay focused in. And that's the bottom of the whole gun thing. The gun show loophole doesn't exist. The number of, well, I quoted this a couple of weeks ago and now I don't have it in front of me, but the number of guns used by criminals committing gun crime, which were purchased at gun shows, is so tiny it almost can't be measured. Their percentage is so small. It's so small. So gun shows aren't a problem. And where people are buying them, that's something we have to pay attention to. Because criminals aren't walking into a store, a legal, federally licensed gun dealer, and buying guns. Because if they have a criminal record, they can't pass the background check. There's already background checks going on. Already. Now, when they talk about comprehensive background checks, they're talking about adding background checks to private sales. That's you selling your old shotgun to your next door neighbor because he likes it. That's you giving your grandfather's hunting rifle to your son as a gift. They want to ban every exchange like that without federal approval. They want you to go to a federally licensed gun dealer in order to sell your gun privately to another person or to gift a gun to another person. They want the recipient to go through a federal background check before your private property can pass from your hands to theirs. That is government overreach. They also want every gun registered. Well, that'll stop it. No, it won't. Criminals aren't going to register guns. The biggest flaw with all of their rationale and all of their reasoning is that they want to pass more laws. These clowns want to pass more laws to prevent people who ignore laws from breaking laws. Did you just shake your head and try to clear out the cobwebs? Because I did. That doesn't make any sense. But that's the rationale. Let's pass more laws so these people who are lawbreakers will not break laws anymore. That'll solve the problem. No, it won't. All it'll do is impede law-abiding people. It'll limit their liberty. It will impede upon their freedom. That's all it's going to do. It's not going to make a change. It's just not. It's just not. It's insane. It's a power grab. And remember, we're dealing with socialists slash communists. One of the first things that happens in any country that steps into socialism, any form of socialism, is they disarm the public. This is not conspiracy theory. It's not paranoia. It's happened as recently as less than 20 years ago in Venezuela, when the people agreed that for the safety of everyone, they should get rid of guns. And at that point, the only people who had guns were the police and the military. Well, guess who's using their guns in Venezuela now? The military against the people. This is the pattern that has happened in every socialist nation. We can't let it happen. And I can't keep going because time's up. The weekend is here. We'll see you Tuesday on the next edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless.
Now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?